We all know that this is such a very, very busy world we live in. Because it takes so much time from us, we need to take the time to go aside, to be quiet, to pray. And in that brief respite from this bustle of life, we are able once more to reaffirm this gift of faith we have, to deepen our convictions, and rekindle our commitment. And now this weekend, between Ascension and Pentecost, the scriptures that we just heard tell us that the members of the early church did just exactly that. It took time to go aside and prepare for the coming of the Spirit. This group of disciples recognized that they were now facing a new way of life. They had moved so quickly from fear to anticipation, from defeat to the victory of the resurrection, and from being cowardly to a new kind of courage. All because Jesus had touched them in his own risen spirit. And now they looked forward to the final gift that they had been promised, that the Spirit of the risen Christ would propel them, empower them to go out into the world and become light in the darkness. The names and the faces have changed. But here we are today. Today's church, imitating our sisters and brothers of that early Christian Jerusalem community. And what was true then is just as true now. It is such a very busy world we live in. And all around us, the message is clear. Fast is always better. As one commercial has it, you know all about fast food, fast women, fast dancing, and now's the time to find out about fast relief. Or they ask, do you want to get thin? There are fast diets, which is an unintentional Madison Avenue pun. We look forward to the day when we can have a fast way to happiness, perhaps a pill, or even fast maturity, how to grow up in 3 weeks, or fast holiness. The possibilities for speeding up are really simply endless. And if we ever do have to wait for anything, it becomes a crashing bore, because in our day it's always spontaneity, instantaneous action. That's why it's always refreshing to find someone who, amidst all of our frenetic scurrying, can truly deliberate both in word and in action. And that's the meaning of a little poem entitled Waking by Theodore Rothke, where he wrote, I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. I know by going where I have to go. Many of us wake up slowly. And the poet is not making any kind of a mockery out of our own personal morning habits. But rather he's trying to sketch a deliberate, thoughtful person. Someone who simply refuses to go on rushing through life and miss so very, very much of it. To be deliberate means that we do have an ultimate goal in mind, and that we arrive at that goal not by hurrying, but rather by taking one step at a time, living day by day, and always learning to look back and around us to make sure that everything is still in focus and only then moving on. And as we go, our going changes because we always view our goal differently. We learn the difference between coming and going. As we see, as Christians, that by deliberate going, we are really going to a coming. We are going to the coming of the Spirit of the risen Lord who grows within us day by day. And yet, this daily witnessing of the risen Christ Spirit in our life so often is beset by temptations, not the least of which is always impatience. We all have a desire to get it over and done with. And that's why when Robert Frost wrote those beautiful lines, he was speaking to impatient people, perhaps even to us. He said, yes, for most people there's a moment for beauty, but only a moment, no more. He wrote, the woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. Only when we learn how to slow down, when we learn how to pace ourselves, to live day by day, are we able to see where it is that we are going. And that's why, when recently a national news commentator pondered the meaning of the Super Bowl, he said he thought the reason why that game had become such an extravaganza in America was simply because it set before the American public a clear goal and gave clear answers. There was always, he said, a definite loser, a definite winner. And he said that for most Americans, despite all of their fast-paced hustling, they really did not have much of an idea whether they were winning or losing in their own personal lives. Now, this is why Americans need the vicarious, artificial experience of simply identifying with two football teams in order to get the satisfaction of a clear answer at least once in a while in their lives. Now, that's an unfortunate comment on the state of our society, if that commentator happens to be correct. We are so busy hurrying to anywhere to have any idea of what is the purpose or the outcome of all of this frenetic activity in which we are engaged. And if it is an unfortunate comment of our American society as a whole, then what must it mean if it also would apply to us Christians within that society? It's a tragic observation that we of all people who should know the reason for our existence, that we are the very people who should give a direction to the other people, that they are the ones who are supposed to follow us. A few years ago, I had the experience of working through the struggles of a young, dedicated teacher who learned suddenly that she had become terminally ill. And she began the difficult task of preparing her students, to whom she was very close, for her death. And in the letter that she wrote, which I read to the students at her funeral, she consoled her students with her own words. Even though I must die, I will remain with you. For my spirit will be in you, my spirit will live on in you. The teacher's spirit lived on in the students whom she loved and taught. And this weekend, even more so, the spirit of the risen Lord lives on now in us, his followers. The spirit of the risen Christ urging us on, consoling us, gladdening us with the resurrection power that he bestows upon each single one of us to proclaim that the risen Lord lives and loves among us and within us. The Lord is with us, and we are not alone, ever, not for a single moment. And yet how many of us, Christians though we are, spend so much of our lives looking for happiness, seeking meaning, and above all trying to find that mysterious spirit that we call God. And all along, God and happiness are within us. And one of the reasons why it takes some people so long to find the spirit of the Lord is not that he is so far away, but that he is so close. As T.S. Eliot describes the discovery, we shall not cease from exploration. In the end of all our exploring will be to arrive someday where we started. And we will know the place for the first time. Our own hearts. The kingdom of God is within us, hidden in our hearts. In the end, we all come home again to our own hearts.